May it please the court, counsel for the government, Martin Coast for the defendant. Bruno Schwanier is a chiropractor that was convicted in the Northern District of Indiana. He had set up a practice wherein he went to residence facilities in the Northern District of Indiana and in Michigan to sell his patented back brace. The evidence that convicted him was based on the allegations of the government that
he patented the back brace? Or was it patented before he sold it?
He had patented the back brace, yes, Your Honor. The government's, in paragraph 21 of the indictment, the government's claim was that Dr. Schwanier would use the ploy of offering free food, free massages, free drinks, and free pillows to obtain access to the residence facilities, see the patients, and to then sell them his product.
Can we get to the jury instructions?
Yes, ma'am.
Because didn't the jury instructions alert the jurors that they needed to find that he acted with an intent to defraud?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, when you look at 9 and 10, wasn't that covered, what needed to be proved?
No, Your Honor. Let's focus on 9 first. 9 spoke specifically through an OIG regulation that an individual health care provider can use gifts of nominal value when providing health care to beneficiaries under Medicare and Medicaid. I'm
referring to 25. I think 25, yeah, I misspoke.
Yes, ma'am.
25 included 9 and 10.
I don't think it covers it. The defense doesn't think it covers it, and here's why. That speaks, if you look at 25, it speaks to, quote, regulating health care claims of the government. Now, this is a two-week trial, and a lot of it was involved with regard to the coding issue, the L05 and K codes. But that particular instruction speaks to regarding health care claims, filing of health care claims with the government. What proffered number 9 allowed the jury to look at and to be apprised of the law is that it is not illegal to offer nominal gifts such as coffee.
I mean, suppose this were a kidnapping case. Someone drove the kidnapped victim across state lines from Illinois to Indiana. Could you request an instruction that it's not illegal to drive from Illinois to Indiana?
In this context, Your Honor, if the government based their case
it would be a very essential part of their case to show that the victim had been driven across state lines.
Correct. In this case, let me put it in the analytical framework the defendant would suggest to this panel with regard to this particular issue. If the government in this case charged only paragraph 21, which is that paragraph about free food and free drinks, if that's the only thing they charged, the question would be from the defendant's position, would instruction number 9 be appropriate? The defendant believes in that context it would absolutely be appropriate because the government is saying this individual performed these acts of providing free things, and therefore this person should have this instruction. The only difference here is we have a lot of other substantive claims dealing with coding, failure to examine, and cursory exams. But, Your Honor, the law is, as stated in 9, specifically addresses the very foundation of the government's case. I see my time is out. I'd only say in conclusion, the government created the case for the jury by asking each of the witnesses, each of them, did you get free things? Did you get food? Did you get sandwiches? It argued that case, and it made that claim in paragraph 21. The defendant believes it should have had an instruction telling this jury that it is not illegal to offer a nominal gift. Then the jury could make the decision based on whether or not it chose to either believe it was nominal or chose to believe that there was intent to defraud. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Kruse. Mr. Schmidt?
May it please the court. What this case was really about was the defendant chiropractor taking what was really a weightlifter's belt worth less than 50.
Is there a picture of this thing anywhere?
No, Your Honor. Many examples of them were introduced into evidence.
No, they're not in the record.
They are as part of the trial exhibits.
They're not in the appellate record.
That's correct.
No samples in the appellate record.
This was really a weightlifter's belt. To look at it, one would look at it and say, that's a weightlifter's belt. And he took that belt, worth less than $50, and billed it as a custom fabricated, molded to patient model, and billed $1,370 to it to Medicare, Medicaid, and multiple private health insurer victims in this case. He dispensed that belt to hundreds of very vulnerable people, low-income persons, mentally handicapped persons, physically handicapped persons.
Did he present any evidence about research that had gone into creating the belt?
He did. He said he had designed this belt in his experience. This was the way it should be done.
He said he'd spent a lot of money. Because, you know, you can have a drug that the manufacturing cost is very low, but the tremendous research expenses. So the price can diverge from cost of manufacture without suggesting that it's overpriced.
There was some evidence by the doctor that he had done some research on this. He had gone through different prototypes in order to come to this particular thing.
He didn't do testing or?
Not extensively on patients or anything. The real crux of the fraud and the lie here was that this was custom fabricated to a patient, that this was molded to a patient, and all the evidence was that the doctor never did that. And instead, he billed it as a custom fabricated, molded to patient model. This idea
Where did he get the bells?
He had them manufactured by a sewing company in Elkhart, Indiana, that formerly made bags for baton twirlers. That was the evidence at trial. They took pieces of leather, pieces of plastic, Velcro, and a couple of metal rings and sewed it together, and the defendant dispensed them at these various places, low-income housing, residences for elderly persons and handicapped persons.
What was the cost to him of the belt?
That was really in dispute during the trial. To look at it, you'd say it was about a $50 belt. He maintained he spent $500 or $600 making a particular belt. But the doctor could never show that he molded these patients, molded these belts to the patients whatsoever. The idea.
So was the $50 a witness testified to that, or is that just your saying you could look at it and tell it was $50?
There was expert testimony, Your Honor, that what this belt was simply a lumbar support, and it should have been billed at $49.95. And then there was some lay testimony that when people looked at the belt, they thought it was worth about $20 to $40 that they would purchase in the store as a kind of weightlifter's belt. The idea of using food and massages and free back and neck pillows was an exceedingly minor issue in the case, relevant to a lot of the witnesses because this is how they were sucked in, but in the overall scheme of things, a very minor issue. And also, the government never charged at any point that the payment of commissions to the independent contractors or salespeople working for the doctors with any kind of kickback. We just said this is how it was done. They used these salespersons to suck in these people. They used the food to suck them in. Not that these were illegal in and of themselves, these commissions and the like. In any event, the defense got to argue. Exhibit VVVV was this precise regulation. It was admitted into evidence, and the district court let the defense argue these matters in closing. So there was no denial of a fair trial. It wasn't supported by the evidence as the evidence emerged. And as Your Honor pointed out, it was well covered by the essential element instructions, which covered explicitly intent to defraud and covered again in number 25 with a repeat that, again, mere violation of applicable health care regulations in this area wasn't enough. You had to prove intent to defraud. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. So, Mr. Kruse, does he have any time left? No. Do you have anything further? No. Okay.
I will say, Mr. Schmidt was kind enough to estimate it was $149 for the cost.
Okay. Thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not, Mr.
Yes, sir.
Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.